Hey, you guys, it's Christine Blackburn with Storyworthy, and I just want to give everybody a big shout out saying thank you so much for listening to the show, for subscribing on iTunes, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Storyworthy.
Storyworthy Media, the best in story-driven content.
Hi, this is Kira Soltanovich, and guess what you're listening to? Storyworthy.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannah Finn.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannah Finnian. We're coming to you from the headquarters of like3.com, which is your go-to website to find threesomes.
Is that true?
Absolutely true.
Do you put your zip code in, or how do you narrow
it down?
You
have to join for free, see photos of contact members, but for instance, I'm looking right here, Brown Goddess 25, single AA female, petite with something to work for. My favorite one on here was... a woman, 40, looking for two hot men to have a threesome with. Hey, guess what? That's all women who are 40. There's no, this is not a, you don't need a threesome for that. My favorite thing I found on here is a link to this couple in Milwaukee, and they say they want an extra person for a threesome.
So is that a foursome?
Yes, exactly. No, they just didn't get the concept. There's a picture of them, and it's like they want a person for a threesome.
All right, you guys.
They think of that as an extra person.
Listen,
anyhow.
We're talking about threesomes because our guest tonight, Kira Soltanovich, is here, Hannes. Kira Soltanovich, she's been on the show before. She brings forth the topic, I was accidentally in a threesome.
Now, see, I want to hear this because if you say I was in a threesome, I want to hear that story. You say I was accidentally in a threesome. Now I really want to hear the story.
Yeah.
Because it's like, did you trip? Did you fall? And into one person, then get up and trip and fall into a second person? How did this...
No, I think what she's talking about is like that one night you get a little bit drunk or whatever, you're in college and things happen. That's what I think she's talking about.
I don't know, though, because accidents, see, that even if you're drunk, you still have to be like you... I think you can still count to two. No matter how drunk you are, you could still look and say there's two people here.
I have never been in a threesome, but I was close to it.
Tell us all about it.
Our clothes were on, but we were both making out with the same guy. So, and there were three of us. And this, but you know what, Hannes, I swear to God, now everything is so long ago. You know, it's just literally decades ago. Literally.
Yes.
I was in flight attendant training.
You
take 180 kids, 22 to 25. It's like a reality show.
You stick them in a hotel.
Put them in a hotel for 6 weeks. And you make them learn seven or eight aircrafts.
Yeah.
You throw them down.
The aircrafts are big and they're phallic and there's lubrication everywhere.
You throw down a couple of slides.
Well, I want to hear more about this. Okay, so you're clothed.
Me and my friend Jody Clevenger, she's still my friend, Jody Roman, we were roommates.
She won't be after she hears the story.
She was my third roommate in flight attendant training because my roommates kept getting kicked out because they freaking kicked everybody
out. They kept
out.
Quitting because you were coming on to them. I know what the story is.
Because they kicked out like 50% of the people they started training. I don't know what that was all about.
So,
but the point is those of us that remain, one of them was my friend Jody, and we wanted to make a Billy McConnell sandwich.
Yes.
Now, Billy McConnell was one of the very good-looking straight flight attendants.
Right. Now, that's got to be a pretty small group of straight flight attendant trainees.
It is smaller. It is a smaller group because a lot of those male flight attendants were gay.
Yes.
So, yeah, you're exactly right. It was a narrower group of people. And Jody and I both thought he was super, super cute. And he was super cute.
Yeah.
And so we would alternately make out with him, you know, while sitting in the same area.
This guy must have been like,
and we're in a hotel.
I'm somebody.
So it was like, whose room were we in? I don't remember whose room we're in. But
wait a minute, I don't understand. So you're kissing him, then you stop, then she kisses him, then he comes back, kisses you.
Yes.
You never had your hands on him or your lips on him at the same time?
No, that's what I'm saying. So I don't really think it was a threesome. I think it was like a two and a half some.
It was more of a sharing. It was sort of a ride share.
It was kind of a sidekick.
It was a bill share.
I think.
But how do you not? Yeah, but
Billy McConnell knew what was going on. I think he was.
Oh, you think? You think he had some idea that everywhere he turned, there was a woman who wanted to make out with him?
Like, so that's the extent of my threesome. And then I almost had one in Australia.
Wait, but how did you avoid? Well, I want to hear about the Australian one. But how did you avoid? Like, didn't Billy at some point go, "Hey, girls," or at least go, "You know, I'm really tense. If I take my shirt off, I think probably, you know, can you, you know, massage my right shoulder and you massage my left shoulder or something?" You never.
I think we were studying that night for like the Halon fire extinguisher, or something. I think we were studying. First aid, or maybe it was like that, you know, that oxygen thing we'd have to put over our heads.
Yeah.
Like you're a popcorn maker. I don't know. The point is, no,
he never suggested you kiss each other. He never suggested that people take their clothes off.
I just remember making out with Billy McConnell, and then Jody making out with Billy McConnell, and then me making out with Billy McConnell. And went back and
forth.
Okay,
here's what I think. I think he was borderline bi.
We went to class.
He was trying to pass for straight, but it wasn't. This was his last bastion. He was gay the next year.
Whatever. That's the point is, I know Kira Sultanovich.
Hang on. Tell me about Australia. I have no threesome stories. Look at me. Look at me. I have won some stories.
One time I was in Australia with my buddy Dave, but we were just friends.
Uh-huh.
And then we met this other girl, Monique.
Yeah, of course her name was Monique.
And it started raining. We're in Byron Bay. You know, you go to Byron Bay for 2 days, you stay 3 weeks.
It's just Runbay.
One of those things. It's one of those places on earth.
And then almost again, but no?
It was like, no, I was never with Dave and Monique wasn't either. I was with Monique. And then Dave left. So there was only two of us in the room.
Well, that's even better. Okay, so you made out with this girl. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, so what?
I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying what a moron. Who is the guy who's in a room with two girls making out? I go, you know what? I got to go to get some ice. And I'm just, there's the last episode of MASH is on. So I got to go watch that.
That was the only other time I could have possibly made a three-way happen. And
why did you not? That makes no sense.
Listen, Hannes, I was young. I don't know.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kira Sultanovich is here. And that I'm excited about. Her topic,
I bet
again,
you are.
I was accidentally
sex maniac
in a threesome. But before she comes on, I did want to remind you guys that if you'd like to support the Storyworthy podcast, there's some very simple ways you can do it. And one of them is to share us in your daily social media.
Yeah.
Give us this day our daily Instagram.
Listen, if you have your pants down while listening to this, it's like you're in a threesome with us.
Or why not just tell your friend or your neighbor, hey, what did I do this morning? Well, I
masturbated to Storyworthy.
I was getting ready, and I was just listening to the story. It was super fun. Oh, how do you get it? Well, you can get it on iTunes, Stitcher, right. SoundCloud. It's really simple. It's totally free.
Yeah.
And also, there's this girl on that show. Her name's Christine Blackburn. You know her, right? She's 50.
Yeah.
So she has this book. It's called Pit to LAX, My Storyworthy Life.
Are you expecting them to be writing this down so they can say this to their friend? Okay.
You can also order the transcripts.
Yeah, or just tell you know, go on Twitter and say, you should listen to @Storyworthy.
There you go.
Just do that. How long could that take you? You selfish, selfish people. Help us. We're going over here. We got no threesomes.
All right, you guys, whoever you are, stick around because Kira Sultanovich is on her way here. Next time on Storyworthy, we have author Madison Perry.
Going to be talking about hooking up with a high school crush.
That's next time on Storyworthy.
This is Barry Katz, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
And we're back. We've actually left the headquarters of threesome.com, and now we're at the headquarters of local-sex-party.com, where I've located three sex parties in my hometown of Shorewood, Wisconsin.
You know,
I have to join to find the sex parties in Shorewood.
I really think that so many of these sex sites and all of this has to be overblown. There can't be this many people who are looking for sex. I mean, I know some people are, but like, and maybe a lot of my friends are, but like, I just don't think so.
Okay. I'm going to say you're wrong. First of all, because, yes, of course, there's a lot of Nigerians trying to get money out of this. But See, you miss, I almost had a threesome here, and I almost had a threesome there, and I slept with two guys in an hour in college, and blah, 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 blah. Now, I'm saying you were, in fact, adventurous when you were young. Most people, I think, were not adventurous and have now reached an age where they're like, you know what? What am I saving myself? It's really, I can't have a little wacky sex in my life. I was always a good person. And those people are out there doing Milwaukee sex parties. Now, the problem with threesomes is people imagine, like, you know, George Clooney and two Playboy models.
Right.
But really, it's more like George Wendt. And, you know, and two other, you know, it's like that's who's really having sex parties out there.
And they just had a potluck dinner at somebody's house in Milwaukee. And there's like ham and pineapple.
Right. They were discussing the German potato salad versus regular potato salad.
Gross.
And now I'm going to fuck your wife in the ass. And then afterwards, we're going to talk about the best route home because I-94, there's a lot of traffic out by Milwaukee County Stadium.
All right, you guys.
What's happening, people. It's a sick country. You know what the biggest moneymaker in this country is? Pornography.
I think that's around the world.
That's true.
All right, you guys.
Wow, things came to a real halt there for a second.
Yes, and. All right, you guys, Kira Sultanovich is here right now. She's so much fun to have on the show, Hannes. It's always going to be a perfect guest.
Perfect. Perfect.
I love having
Except
her
she
in.
Didn't bring any pictures of her threesome, so that's unfortunate for all of us.
Maybe she did. Who knows? All right, you guys, she's a comedian and a writer and an actress, and she has a brand new comedy special out right now. You Did This to Me. It's on Netflix, and I'm telling you, it is so funny and so slick. And she's like 11 months pregnant in this special. I swear to God on it.
She might give birth during the special. This could be an extra added bonus.
It's really exciting. Kira was also the voice of the talking photo booth in a sketch show on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno for 7 years, Hannes.
Yes.
7 years. She was also 9 years, 8 years, a long, long time.
Amount of years.
She was also on that prank show, Girls Behaving Badly. That was actually very funny.
Yes.
I enjoyed that. And if that's not enough, she also hosts her own parenting podcast right now. It's called The Kira Sultanovich Show. You can find her on Twitter at Kira Comedy and at her website, kiracomedy.com. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Kira Sultanovich.
Oh, well, I don't know if I should actually title this I was accidentally in a threesome, or maybe I was inadvertently in a threesome, or I was threesome adjacent. But this is what happened. So back when I was very poor, which could have been any time between yesterday and 1991. So I was, just out of college, open mic comic, living in Los Angeles. A friend was getting married back down in San Diego where I went to college. And so I was like, excited. I'm going to go down to her wedding and drive down. It's just 2 hours from LA. But I didn't think that at a wedding, you might want to have a cocktail. Or at a wedding, you might not want to drive home 2 hours after being out all night. I was just stupid and young and dumb, and I didn't get a hotel room. So here I am at this wedding, and I am a terrible drinker as it is. It's about 15 minutes of crazy, like, woo, drink it, and then... And I'm ready to sleep. It's just awful. So the end of the wedding comes around and I realize I don't want to drive home. And a bunch of people have hotel rooms because they're smart and they have money and they make good choices. So I talk to some people and they're like, just come and crash in our hotel room. It's not a problem. And we'll find you like a piece of floor or a cushion from the couch or something. But as a comic, and I'd already started traveling, I swore that I would somehow get at least a slice of a bed. There were two beds and a pullout couch. There's no way I'm going to catch tuberculosis or whatever polio is in the carpet of a hotel room. And if you ever sleep in a hotel room on the floor, I hope your other option is homeless, because it's absolutely disgusting. So I knew I gotta get just a piece of bed. And there were about 10 people. So One bed had three people just passed out on it. It's like 4 o'clock in the morning. This other bed has two people, and the pullout couch has like three or four people. It was just insane, just bodies everywhere. So I kind of like slithered into the one bed that had only two people, and I was like, sweet, I'm going to sleep. I'll rest, and I'll be good to go tomorrow morning to my drive back to Los Angeles. Well, next to me was a guy that I had known for a while, right? Always totally into him, Rick, you know, called him like Slick Rick, right? Because I'm from the 80s. And on the other side of me is this woman that I don't even remember her name. Beautiful, like complete opposite of me. She like, I have this like Jewy, sweaty kind of Soviet immigrant look. And she's the complete opposite. She's Christy Brinkley. And she's just like hot, and her body looks like a normal body where mine is like a Picasso. I got one boob here and another one in my back. And it's just, I just would love to have looked like her, but here she is asleep, drunk, so wasted. And here he is snoring, disgusting. And I'm just like, okay, let's all go to sleep. Then just a few moments into REM, I feel a hand start pawing at me, almost like a dog that needs to be taken out. And I just feel like it's not sexy at all. It's like someone's hand has fallen asleep and they're trying to wake it up by pounding it on your nipple. And I've got startled out of my sleep, and I look over and it's Slick Rick. And I was like, what's happening right now? I was like, oh, he's just drunk. So he's, you know, flailing in his sleep. But no, his like one eye is open like a horny pirate, and he's looking at me. And I'm just like, there's no way he's looking at this Jew face. He's not interested in me, right? But I got like a little like, oh, okay, what's happening right now? And then he's pawing at me, and then he kind of reaches over and he just pulls down the sheet for the chick next to me. She's completely naked. Completely. I had no idea. And it's just like these amazing bosoms, just like overflowing. They just look like when you let your hair down out of a ponytail. Her boobs just came out of the sheets, just like, ah. And I'm looking over and he sees this. So he's awkwardly pawing at her tits like a kitty trying to scratch her nail, just like, and he's pawing at her and pawing at me. And I'm such a prude. I'm so square that I don't really think anything is happening, right? I mean, we're all asleep, aren't we? Like, and there's other people in the room. Like, nothing's happening, right? Wrong. Rick starts to try, I don't know what he was doing. He tried to climb up me. I'm fully clothed, by the way, still wearing the dress that I wore to the wedding, and the shoes. And this was so long ago, I hate saying this, the nylons. That's how long ago this was. And he is looking at me and breathing just a terrible, terrible drunken, like the bottom of a barrel of like a keg, like the bottom residue of a keg, just all over me, right? And he's pawing at me, and then he's kind of climbing over me. And I hate to say this because I don't want to make fun of a disabled person, but like a disabled person, like I don't have limbs because of a terrible accident, or maybe I was born this way. And he's just like trying to climb over me. And I realize, okay, Rick wants some action. I don't think I'm the person for the job, but I take his hand and I position it towards this chick, and I start taking his hand and rubbing it up and down her body. And she's waking up and she's totally loving this. And I'm taking his hand like we are in a Groundlings improv game where you have to like take the other person's body and start like, we're going to improvise a scene, everybody. We work in a dentist office. And I'm taking his hand and I'm thinking, how far can I do this? Like, how far can we go? And he starts like rubbing her nipples in a circular motion, right? And she's loving it. He's having a great time. So I'm taking it and moving it down her body and kind of caressing her thigh, like inside of her thigh. And he's just, he's ready to go, but not really. Like he's not ready to go downstairs because he's had so much alcohol and whatever else he put in his body that he has the limpest junk, like the saddest, like you left butter out in the sun, you know, where it's just smeared all over and it's like he can't even make out what it is. You know what I mean? It just looks like when it rains and worms come up from the ground and then they just kind of like die on a sidewalk because they've been trampled. And he takes my hand to kind of get it worked up. And I was like, you know what, sir, that's not going to happen. Even though I've always been totally hot for you and excited like that this might actually happen in my life. Now that I'm looking at little dick Rick, I'm so not interested. It was so sad. And I think he tried to shave or wax. So it looked like, you know, like Coachella at the end of the weekend where everything's like matted down and there's like cigarette butts and just like trash strewn all over. So I took this chick's hand and over my body, I used her hand to massage him and get him semi-erect. I don't even want to say half. I would say quarter. I'm not kidding you. It was barely, you couldn't even call it a penis at this moment. It was like just a puh. Like it was so sad. I feel so bad. So she's rubbing him, he's rubbing her, and I am the puppet master. I am John Malkovich in Beach, or rather, what's his face? The brother. The dude. Who am I thinking about in John Malkovich? Who, you know. All right. Anyways, I am using their hands to excite both of them. Now, this part I'm not proud of at all. This part. Why? Has this been racy up to now? Because I feel like this is so actually kind of lame. He attempts to kind of start making out with me or her or honestly a shoe. It wouldn't matter at this point. He's so out of it. And I'm not going to be a part of this, but I want to help facilitate. Like I'm a people pleaser. So I want to help these two people. I feel like they want to be together just because I'm in the middle of them. I shouldn't be in the middle. You know what I mean? I'm going to help them instead of hindering this opportunity, right? So he kind of climbs on top of me and she kind of nudges into me. And there are hands around my body, but there's so many zippers and buttons in the way that they kind of really give up so very easily. But their bodies are definitely ready. Her hands are getting him excited via me. His hands are getting her excited via me. So I am literally taking his fingers and putting them inside of her. I felt like I was teaching a gynecology class. Like, all right, here's what you do. No, put these in here. And they proceeded to enjoy each other until you can't even call it a climax. It was like a mesa. It was like, you can't even call it like getting to the top of the mountain. It was just kind of like a step stool. And then they did it and they were, quote, done. And both passed out on top of me. So this is just a lesson to anyone who ever has wanted to be in a threesome or has been infatuated with someone or thought someone was hot and was like, oh, I'd love to hook up with them. Well, guess what? You never know when Big Dick Rick is Small Dick Rick and he's not very slick at all.
Wait a minute. Did they have intercourse?
You know,
I like how that's the part you fudged on.
He really did try his hardest.
I mean, in other words, did you get on one side of him?
No, I was always in the middle.
So how could his penis couldn't have entered her
vagina?
That's
what I'm saying. He tried. It was like a big mush.
Everybody was too sleepy.
Too sleepy, too drunk. I was too...
Too many people in the room.
And there are like seven other people in the room.
What did your dress look like? You know that. Okay. I know you know that.
I do.
What color were your shoes dyed?
Oh my God, that's so funny that you say that. I want to say it was like, what was really in at that time was a dress that kind of came out like a V, like a really
deep V line.
And then not shoulder pads, but like the illusion of like kind of a wider shoulder.
Was this Dynasty era? No.
Well, no, I'm not that.
Yeah,
wasn't that old.
Wasn't the 40s.
It wasn't in the 40s, but close.
But it was the 90s.
It was late 90s.
Okay.
Yeah.
And late, so was very it what late. Color? Was it like a royal blue?
No, it was actually, I think, black and white, if I'm remembering correctly.
Okay, and were your pantyhose bone?
They were. With control top. So they weren't getting those off unless we were all functioning.
You had the ultimate protection
That's a battle.
Yeah.
What would my daughter say if I showed her pantyhose right now? Like, what would my daughter say if she saw pantyhose? Oh, she would have no idea I was putting on me.
She'd probably say, are you making gravy? You're using too?
She would know tights.
Yeah, she would say, why are those tights such an ugly, weird color?
But she would say, what are those, Mama? I can hear her saying that.
Yeah, yeah.
And why are they coming out of an egg?
Yeah, the egg. By the way, you're not only... Okay, at first I wrote down the note. You actually had an accidental 10-way. Because there were 10 people in the room, I counted. I realized what you really were an accidental lesbian. Because you would use his hand to stimulate her.
You know,
so it was very close to being lesbianish, but you had a layer of, like, his hand. It's like you were controlling his hand, but his hand
kind of helping them. I was trying to smush them together.
Yeah.
Because I felt like there's no way, but he was still trying to add me into the mix.
Well, at this juncture, he had two women beside him.
Yeah,
right.
At least you didn't go, how dare you, sir? What kind of girl do you think I am?
Recently,
let me insert your fingers into my friend's vagina.
Recently, I heard someone refer to a man's penis before it was fully erect. I heard her say it was el dente.
Have you heard that?
El dente is hard.
So it would be overcooked. An overcooked noodle would be a better negative image.
Yeah.
El dente is still a little stiff.
His looked like
he said it was smushed.
Day old potato salad.
That is so gross.
You know where it's like
that is a horrible image.
Lumpy and
I
white.
I think if a guy does too much bicycling, it can get like that. It was smattered everywhere.
I could not tell you.
Like a puddle.
How, like, he was really cute, so I was really into him. But how happy I was that I never really hooked up with him because I was like, this?
Yeah. Well, it could have been a lot better if he was alert.
Sure.
Tell us about the next morning.
Okay, so the next morning, they all slept till the next afternoon.
Yeah.
I was so grossed out by that evening that I was actually going to just drive home at 4 a.m. But I was so exhausted and tired. And again, one glass of wine. And I am.
But that's
not
this was, you're talking about like 15, 20 years ago. Were you that way then too? Even as a young girl, you were
lightweight. I never drank.
Wow.
My friends all depended on me as the mom of the group. So my parents had a big, huge Lincoln Continental, which fit enough for a 10-way orgy.
Yeah.
But I had all my friends in there. I was always in charge of like getting everyone home safe. I never drank. I'm an embarrassment.
Wow.
I do a bit in my act about how my mom is truly embarrassed. Embarrassed by the fact that I can't drink vodka.
Oh,
and she gets
so Russian,
bent
right?
out of shape. Like she once told me, she's like, you're embarrassing me at this party.
That is unbelievable.
Because I wouldn't do shots of vodka.
She wants you,
I was eight.
Well, it's a cultural thing.
It is a cultural thing. But I just don't drink. I mean, my husband, you know.
Well, it's a good thing. That's not a bad thing.
It's totally fine. But if I did... I always said have a different career in show business if I did drugs and slept around with the right people. You know, I'd probably have a better career. Let's be honest.
There would be ups and downs, just like if you don't, if you're dry. Let me ask you something. So are you friends with those guys on Facebook right now?
No.
How can that be?
One of the people I didn't really know that well. I remember her, but I never really hung out with her. So I couldn't even tell you. I mean, I could probably ask people what her name
and
was.
And it was before Facebook. So it's you it was have to way find before. Yeah. And all that.
And this Rick guy, I would not even be able to look him in the eyes.
Yeah.
I just realized now that if this had happened within the past 5 years, there would have been various videos or at least audio of this occurring on like Snapchat and Vine and stuff.
Can you believe these
worst threesome ever?
I feel so lucky that these things weren't available when I was in high school. Yeah. That all of this, even the availability of cameras, I'm glad, didn't exist.
Look, don't think that I didn't consider like, oh, maybe this will be like my, you know, I'll try being a lesbian
like
for once.
Like a new thing. It might be fun.
I cannot tell you how zero interest I have.
Interest you had in that girl.
And she had amazing, amazing tits and everything about her. And she was like perfectly tan.
She would have been the one.
But chicks, I just like.
Well, no, it's funny you would say that because that made me think of your you know, just description of this man's horrible state of his genitalia. Just reminded me of like, it's talk about being gay or straight, being genetic. It's like, you're describing. I cannot understand how women ever want to touch a cock. I don't understand.
Well,
I can understand that. Obviously, she's describing the worst case scenario.
The right one.
There's
is
a best
great.
Case scenario, but for me, there is no best case scenario. Like you could show me, you're like, this is the one. Like instantly, my pilot light is lit looking at this photograph, and I'll be like, I still think it's
because
horrifying.
Because it doesn't start with a cock.
No. Well,
it doesn't start with that.
It starts with taint. No.
Listen.
I know women with their feelings and liking people.
No, it starts with, like, to me, like, their face, their chest, their stomach. You know, do they weigh 500 pounds? I mean, what are we talking about? I mean, you have to immediately have an attraction.
Okay, but even, okay.
I don't want to see your cock.
Okay, but whatever it is.
If I don't want to see your chest.
That, by the way, is what I love about guys sending dick pics. It's like,
nobody wants to see
it. That's not how women will show it to their friends. You have never convinced.
I want
to
see your
hands. You'll never convince a woman to sleep with you by just sending her a picture of your dick.
No.
You send her a picture of you in a Armani suit next to your Ferrari looking good, maybe.
Or your mouth, or your lips, or your chest, or your hands, or your teeth. Let me tell you something. The thing with that girl.
Jeez, I got a lot of stuff I got to do at home. When I get home, I got to fix all those things.
That girl wasn't your type. I understand that she was beautiful.
Yeah.
But like she wouldn't be my type either. And I'm not a lesbian. But if I were to have a taste in lesbians,
she would have to be Australian, first of all, apparently.
No, that girl was English. But the point is she's not my type. Like I would definitely be more for a more masculine lesbian, as it were.
Right.
A butch type or whatever.
Sure.
Right. That's because you're not actually a lesbian. You'd be like, if I gotta do this, it should at least be a man hint.
No, I don't think a man hint, because even in real life, I don't find that attractive. Like, I don't find, that's not what I think is attractive, the Pam Anderson look or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So, let me tell you, I recently, and again, this is a bit, I'm just prefacing it so people don't think I'm trying to sneak bits in, but this is true.
Okay.
I got
you were, like, trying to sneak her fingers in. Oh, see, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I got kicked out of a La Leche League meeting. which for people who don't know, is a Mexican gang that jumps you in.
They're not a gang.
It's about breastfeeding, right?
Okay, it's a group of women that support you while breastfeeding. Great. So I went, and I was, you know, excited to do it. And you go to someone's house. It's usually in someone's living room, and people bring snacks. All the women sit around with their newborn babies, and tops come off, and bras come off, and everyone's breastfeeding, and it's a supportive place. I get it, but I'm a comic, so I can't just be normal.
Can you go and latch on? Just latch?
I just said to them, we're sitting around, we're all half naked, and I go, hey, this is the closest I've ever been to an orgy. Immediately asked to leave. And I don't know if you've ever had to leave a room half naked, but it's very awkward with just nipples and your bag and a diaper and the baby.
Seriously, now, what happened? What did the girls, who said what to you?
The leader.
And she said,
by the way, Kira. Her name's Christine.
Did she say Kira?
Listen, exit.
You're going to need to leave.
Exit?
Exit.
So that's an order.
That's harsh, man.
Yeah. They do not mess around. Now, they still jump you out.
Now, I was in the that's not true. I was in the booby brigade.
They slap you with their breasts
booby
back
and forth. Booby brigade is the worst.
It's another one.
They're the most evil. There are some harsh bitches on the booby brigade.
I just went to a couple of the meetings over at the, you know, what's it called? The nursing places, the stores, the, there's a couple of them.
Yeah.
There's one in Hollywood. There's, like a there's
nursing
one in Santa.
Station.
Titty McGee's.
Yeah, the nursing
Titty
station.
Titty McGee's, exactly.
And at the pump station.
Yeah.
The pump station. And there I would meet with booby brigade women who sit around a nurse.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you get on schedule with everybody like that. You know, like my baby, you know, she'd latch on when she wanted to. I couldn't, you know, schedule it around the meetings.
Right.
But there's a whole weird, like, thing about this. No. Because I know a woman at work and she's got, like, 5 kids. She's, like, 32. That's a whole other thing, but it's like she saw a woman breastfeeding in where we work in public, and she was like, you know, and the woman had like a you know,
cover
of some kind, something, right? And it wasn't, and she's like, that's just not right. And I'm like,
really?
How can you really just think that that's just not right? You have 5 children.
Yeah.
I mean, and obviously, you know, I assume you have breastfed all 5 of them. I didn't have this conversation with her, but it's like I'm thinking this makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, she's 32 years old with 5 children, so it doesn't make sense to begin with. And
yeah,
she works at Universal.
Right, exactly. Yes, I know. There's a lot of aspects of the story that are all falling apart now that I see it. But it's like it was just weird to me. Like, how is it even possible that it occurs to you that you should judge her?
Because moms love to judge other moms.
Is that what it is?
Oh, it's really unfortunate.
They really do.
And it's really,
that's why I stopped booby brigade.
Going there, yeah. I feel like also I only have 1 child, and I kind of like hit it and quit it. So every, you know, 1, 2, 3, and I'm done, and I'm out, and I'm out, and I'm out as she gets older. Because it does seem like the women with the youngest children are like that.
Yeah.
Because as you get older, you realize it just doesn't matter. Nobody cares
anymore. Really, just don't be a douche. That's all that matters. If you were circumcised or not circumcised, just don't be a douche. How about that?
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
But how did you, because you look so good, how did you kind of bounce back so fast? You just had a baby.
I have a lot of duct tape going on right now.
How old is baby Claire?
She's 8 months.
8 months old. Because really, like I wrote down here, it took me honestly like 3 years to like get back into any sort of
I am not back.
You don't feel
no. Yeah. Oh my God, no. I need to like go to one of those pit crews where they
how's her sleeping
rotate
and stuff.
Everything. You know what? She is such a chill baby. It's kind of ridiculous.
Isn't that sweet?
She is so chill. I was actually out with some friends yesterday with her at Santa Monica. I was holding her, and not like in a bad mom kind of way, but I forgot I had a baby.
Oh my God.
Like that's how just chill she is.
Did you have her
I looked
in one
down
of those
and I was
sacks?
Like, oh my God. No, I was holding her in my arms.
Oh my God.
Yes, I'd had a carrier with me,
yeah.
But I took her out of it and just kind of put her on, you know, just kind of like wedge them into the side of your body and give yourself scoliosis. Yeah. But I forgot. I was like, oh, I have a baby. Like not one wiggle, not one wriggle, not one little.
What a little peepot.
She just sat there observing the world and just
And Braden
chill.
Was not like that?
Braden could kick you in your throat.
Yeah.
If you, I mean, at any moment, like he's a boy. They're so different.
But do you think it also has to do with the vibes that you're putting out as
as
a second time parent and
For
how
sure.
comfortable you are?
For sure, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's fantastic. She's
That's so
But
fun.
I'm not back. Like, I do feel like, God, I could have done a better job in these
How
last 8 months.
How about eating and stuff? Do you have to be careful what you're eating for nursing purposes and stuff like that?
I'm done with that. I'm officially done.
All right. That's
yeah,
good. Yeah.
Because I had to like go back to work. I just shot a game show. We did 40 episodes.
What?
Yeah.
40. That's fantastic.
I know.
What's the show?
It's called Winsanity.
I'm so excited for you.
Yes,
what's the premise?
So Donald Faison is the host. I am his wacky sidekick.
From television Scrubs.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Super sweet, by the way.
Yeah.
What a sweetheart.
Donald Faison.
The black guy.
You know him. You absolutely know him. He's really just a tremendous person. And we shot it for Game Show Network. And
What's the premise?
So contestants in the studio audience are all potential winners.
Okay.
So if someone's up there, let's say like The Price is Right, that person's just winning for themselves.
Right.
But the contestant that goes up on stage and Winsanity is winning for everybody in the studio audience.
So they want them
to
win.
But if they miss an answer, They leave.
They jump them.
And then
in the
a new
lot.
Person is picked from the audience.
And what are the prizes?
So we gave away new cars. We gave away $10,000.
Everybody in the audience got $10,000?
No, not everybody. They have these Win watches. So we set the Win watches
this
off.
This is Winsane.
This is Winsane, right? And if your watch turns green, you're playing for whatever prize. Flat screen TVs, vacations to Mexico, vacations to Hawaii.
If it turns red, your table's ready.
Yes,
yeah.
Thanks.
By the way, you know, it's not like you invented the audience thing. You remember a little show called Tattletales? Currently
no,
on
we're
Buzzer.
Not from the 20s.
From the 70s. The 70s. It's and they're rerunning it now.
The 1870s?
You have three celebrity couples, such as William Shatner and at least three wives ago.
Tell us about
and Chad
how-
Everett. They would be on a. Ann Mira and Jerry Stiller. Who is like maybe 35 and looks exactly the same as he has for the past 20 years. And the celebrities would be, the wives or the husbands would be sitting, you know, behind a TV, and the TV would have them on in this, you know, other room where they couldn't hear. And it was, the entire set was shag carpeting. And so one person's table area would be yellow shag carpeting, and that would fan out across the floor into the audience. So that everyone sitting in the yellow section...
Is this nursery school?
Was getting... Yes, it was unbelievable. And then the middle part would be like bright green shag carpeting, and that would fan out to the audience. So there'd be three separate audience areas, depending on what, which celebrity...
It was so sad before computers. It was so sad.
Oh, you
everything.
Should see this. It's
so
it's it, you've never seen Tattletales? Oh, my God.
No.
You must YouTube no. Tattletales, I'm
I will.
Telling you.
I will.
But what do you do? Now, Don's the host. Yeah. What is your purpose?
I get to crack jokes.
That's fun.
Okay.
It's kind of the... Remember Jimmy Kimmel on Win Ben Stein's Money?
Okay.
Yes.
How he just cracked jokes. He just would sit there and just...
So you're like truly, truly the sidekick.
I'm literally just... I'm announcing prizes like, hey guys, you know, everyone's playing for a car. Yay. And then I just get to crack jokes.
Are you standing or sitting?
I am standing in my own little...
I always think that I would really enjoy working on a game show, but it takes a tremendous amount of energy, doesn't it?
It does, because we were shooting 5 episodes in a day.
So tell us how that schedule works. I know that they're stockpiling episodes for the future.
Right.
And so tell us about how it works from the beginning until the end in terms of the wardrobe changes and eating and the audience.
I mean, the audience gets loaded in at 6:30 in the morning.
And how many people are we talking about?
I think there were always about 100 people.
And where are they coming from?
Oh, just everywhere. Just everywhere.
But these are like troops of people, like a mom's club or
yeah,
a PTA
we had that.
Club, a
yeah.
school
Those
club.
Those bitches from La Leche, they
we
were
had-
there.
We had offices come in.
Yeah.
So people from... Like we all work at State Farm Insurance or whatever. You
yeah,
know, like
we're
offices.
Having a day off, and we all went to see this taping of a show.
And somebody won from that group once.
Good. Yep. So they come in at 6:30 a.m.
Yes, my call time would be 7, and you get like the prize copy for the day, and there were categories.
So you're
but
in
Donald
hair-
and I don't know the answers. So
you're like in hair and makeup, and they makeup. Bring you a sheet, and they say, "Kira, here's all the prizes of the day," and you look through the prizes and just kind of get your dialogue straight in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first show starts taping at like, what, 8 o'clock?
Yeah, maybe 9.
And so does it run in real time?
Oh, yeah.
And how long is that show?
It's a half hour show.
30 minutes?
Yeah.
And so it runs through. The audience, there's a warm-up person. I'm trying to paint a picture for everybody because it's kind of involved.
Oh,
it's very involved.
Game shows are very involved. There's a huge set. There's lots going on. We have a car on the set. You know, with like lights going back and forth, you know, like those Hollywood lights
music.
That are like, yeah, there's music. People are you know, excited to be there. And then Donald comes out and I come out into my little spot. And, you know, we pick the first contestant and they basically have to stack facts from lowest to highest.
In terms of date?
No, like it could be anything. It could be how many people in the world have an iPhone?
And so then the answer would go from, what do you mean? What? How are they stacking them?
Well, you have to guess like, okay, so there's 4 places this could go. I think it's probably somewhere near the top and you put it up at the top.
I see.
And then it says, how many episodes were there of the TV show Scrubs? And then we're only like, let's say 170 episodes of Scrubs.
170.
So, yeah,
Jesus,
right?
Can you imagine?
And so that's probably going to be lower than people in the world that have an iPhone. So you put that at the bottom. So right. you're trying to like stack the numbers.
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. So and, different facts and figures.
Right.
And so people are shouting out like, no, yes, no, it's yes. a lot lower
a lot
than that.
Of shouting.
Lower.
Yes.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah. Oh, it was
okay,
great.
Okay. So now you did all 40 shows.
Yes.
And now what happens in terms of your talent? And now what do you wait by the phone or what do you know?
We don't know much.
When is
but
it going to air?
I love you.
Oh, it's really exciting. And I sure hope it gets picked up again. I mean, yes. do you want to see that? Obviously, you want to see that for financial reasons. But
absolutely.
Do you also want to do it? Was it fun?
It was really fun.
It sounds like
it
fun.
Was. It's one of those jobs where, you know, Donald, God bless him, he had most of the pressure on him. Yeah. And I can just crack jokes.
Well, and also,
and that's all I want to do
yeah,
in life.
Yeah, you've got a couple babies at home. And this yeah. would be kind of like a normal job.
Yeah.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
I hope that happens for you.
Yeah.
In the meantime, you also have this podcast, The Kira Sultanovich Show, which is specifically about parenting.
Yes. Comics.
Comics,
who are parents.
Parents. And recently you had on a mutual friend of ours, Peter Sprite.
Yes.
And I thought you did such a good job with him.
Really?
Because you went to the very dark place that he recently experienced
yeah.
in his life, which was the death of his wife.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that his child is adopted and how all that happened and they got married again. But there's like all this personal stuff. And I thought, she's going to blow right by that. There's no way she's going to get into that. She's just going to talk about adoption and that's the parent. That he's the, you know, the parent of an adopted child. But you went right for it.
Yeah.
I was impressed.
Well, you know, Peter is a dear friend of mine. So I can,
yeah.
I can, you know, give him a little bit of the business, a little bit of the what for. But I
but still, I'm his friend
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but this is important. This is not.
To him. I don't think I could bring it up.
Well,
I mean, in that respect, on a
but
show.
He is such a monotone person, and
right.
I say that with love. I'm not saying anything
no, no,
that I wouldn't say to him.
He plays that. Yeah.
He really, truly is. And so I knew he was going to give me regular Peter Sprite monotone
feedback.
Yeah. And I even off mic, I even said to him, I go, so what kind of parent are you when your child comes home and is like, I won the spelling bee. And he goes, good job. And then she goes, I have detention because I hit somebody in class. And he goes, oh no. Like he's yeah. so monotone.
He always keeps it monotone.
I don't think that made it. I think the mics were turned off at
yeah.
that point. But I mean, that's what I kind of wanted to talk to him about, like as a parent, because everything in parenting is so animated.
Right.
High five, dude, you did it. You know? And it's like he's the
he
complete
keeps it all really
opposite
low.
Of
he
that.
Does.
So even at the death of his wife, which was so devastating and still is.
It's yeah, it still is.
It's
and you
really
touched
feels
on that.
Fresh.
I mean, you said that. Yeah, it does feel fresh.
He had the same kind of monotone, you know?
Yeah. But I just thought it was really good, and I think he appreciated
thanks.
It because he responded, you know, he wasn't offended or anything. He spoke really cleanly about it. I don't know. I just thought it was a really, because people go through that. I mean, that's a very true parent.
Yeah.
That was for a parenting podcast, probably not a lot of shows have dealt with that.
Yeah.
You dealt with it.
Well, what's
interesting
is that, you know, I don't know if Peter really was like, I want to adopt a baby before even his ex-wife, you know, before they got together. And so she was really pro children. She's
yeah.
like, I really want a child. So he's like, all right, let's do this. And then she dies.
Yeah.
And now he's like, and I'm not saying he's
yeah,
like,
here
great,
I am.
Here's this kid
no,
I didn't
course,
want. No, of course he loves her and wants her, but I'm sure that it's just like, okay.
How could, yeah, unbelievable.
So here we are.
Just, it's just crazy how life changes.
Yeah.
You know, you were talking about those infomercials you do with him. You know, I'm the one who works with him.
Yes.
I'm that actress.
You came up. Yeah.
And it's just out of control funny. Just
yeah.
ridiculous. But, you know, it's a buck, right?
Absolutely.
And so let's talk about your new special. You did this to me. How did you, because obviously the idea of this special is that you are so pregnant and you're on stage.
Yeah.
So you obviously had to plan when you're going to do this show so that you're super pregnant, but you didn't have the baby.
Here's what happened. I did a Showtime special a while back. The same producers approached me and they said, hey, that was a half hour special for Showtime. How about we shoot an hour special for Showtime? I was very flattered that that this producer approached me, but I wanted to do it either on my own or a different way because I wanted to own. It's like when you cultivate all this material and it comes from you and it's like, it is like a child. Like
yeah.
you've seen it when it's first starting to walk and you're helping the material along and then you're just going to give it away. You know what I mean?
So like, wait, so back up because people at home might not understand what you're saying.
You shoot a special with certain producers and you're giving it to them.
So if Showtime comes and says, we would like to do a show with you, Kira.
Yes.
If you say, yes, Showtime, I'd love to do a show with you. You just gave them that special.
I just gave them. Now if George Lopez, yeah, they'll pay me something nominal.
Something.
Is that the right word I'm looking
for? Yeah, nominal. They'll pay you something.
Something.
Not phenomenal.
No.
But you're not
nominal.
But you're not going to make money on that special when they run it for the next 10 years.
No. I made
10 years. I'm sorry. Can I just say I have HBO Now? And it's like there's specials on there from 25 years ago. There's a Louis C.K.
When he had hair.
When he's like, he's not even Louis C.K. And he must be like, compared to what he does now. It's so pedestrian and lame.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's going to run for the, he has no power over that at all. Yeah. At all.
No, I don't think a lot of people know that though.
I think people don't understand.
Like my Showtime special is on iTunes, right? I don't see a penny of that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine. I get it. Like you have to do certain things when you are in this business that you're not a fan of, but you want to do them because they are milestones and stepping stones.
Podcasting. I'm just saying.
No, but you know, like someone comes with you with an opportunity, it might not be the best financial opportunity.
Well, they say, do you want to hit 20,000 people today or do you not?
Right.
And you say, yes, I would like that.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing is the horrible, wonderful world in show business is exposure.
Right.
And they're like, well, you know, it's good exposure.
It's good for your
brand. And it's like, you know, and again, you see the stuff on Facebook where people are like, you know, he walks into a framing store and he says, I would like you to frame this picture, but that'll be $500. Well, no, I'm not going to pay you any money. I'm going to put a piece of paper next to it in my house that says who you are and what you did.
Yeah.
Because it's great exposure. And it's like, get the fuck out of my store. It's like nobody in the real world is giving their goods and services away for exposure.
No.
But in show business, it happens all the time.
And it happens to not only comics, but singers and actors and musicians.
So,
and it's terrible.
You did this to me. So,
yes.
So you so have I, a hold
in that
of this
moment,
property.
Yes. So in that moment when he said, would you like to shoot a 1-hour special? I very politely declined his offer. And I realized in that moment, I would like to do it myself.
Yeah.
Now, that was September of 2014. In November of 2014, I found out I was pregnant. So I wasn't planning on shooting a special pregnant.
So wow.
I was planning on just shooting a special. I was going to just, you know, get all my resources together and just do it myself. Or maybe shop it around where I had more control over it. But here I am, November, I find out I'm pregnant, and I'm already like started this process, you know?
But you're not going to change your set. You're just you have to change the premise, though.
Well, the premise is still comedy. But now I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'm doing a special pregnant.
And as long as I'm going to be pregnant, I may as well be all the way pregnant.
Yes, yes.
So now,
and
how did you book the date, though? How did you say, I'm due on the 10th, I better book this on the 12th?
Right, but here's what happened. The date chose me. So we got the Coach House in San Juan Capistrano,
That's
which is
a great club. Wow.
Great musical venue, also comedy, but it's a big, crazy, like, honky-tonk bar. I mean, like, it has,
I've seen a couple
crazy
of
personality.
There. It's amazing.
And so they said, look, because I performed there a lot, and through Cindy Burns, they said, look, we'll give you the space. We're not going to charge you. All we have available is Mother's Day.
Ooh.
May 10th.
That's cool, though. Now, this is making sense.
How crazy is that, right?
Because you're a mother.
And I'm thinking,
when's the
Mother's
baby due?
The baby was due in July.
Okay. So 5 weeks out, 6 weeks out.
Yeah, May. So I was like, I guess that's a sign, because that's the date they had and they were giving it to me for free.
Yeah, you have
so
to.
So as a
that.
Producer, you have to jump on things like that. And so I was like, all right, I guess we're doing a Mother's Day special as a mother who's pregnant, you know, again.
Over 7 months pregnant.
And boom.
But
that's
that shirt is so pretty. The blue color on you is so pretty. Was there no padding under there at all? I'm not being mean. I'm just saying you were
My La Leche leaves?
No, not the La Leche leaves, for your belly.
Are you kidding me?
All your belly, 7 months pregnant.
100%.
You got bigger than that. How big was Claire?
She was just under 9 pounds.
Aw, that's so sweet.
We make big people. I gained 50 pounds with both my kids. Yeah, which is illegal in Los Angeles.
That's a lot.
They send you away.
It's not. I mean, I gained 35, which I think is a good amount of weight. 50 is a good amount of weight.
50 is a lot.
Come on. Yeah, but you drop it right away.
It was mostly nipple. Have you seen a pregnant woman's nipple?
No, show me.
Oh my God. Well, if I was pregnant, I totally would. I would have zero.
Oh, like you don't have any pictures. That's how you finance the special. I see what happened. So we had Bignipple.com.
We had to crowdfund. So we did crowdfunding. I got investors and then, of course, used my own money. And when you crowdfund, I didn't know. It was my first time doing like one of those Kickstarter things. You have to give them perks.
Right.
So if you donate, you know, $100, this. If you, and then the higher the amount of money, the better the perk. One of my perks was for $20,000, we'll let you name the child.
Whoa.
For $25,000, we'll let you cut the cord when the child is born.
Oh, my gosh.
I got the $20,000.
No, you didn't.
Yes.
Who named that baby?
So the person that donated, it was, you can name them their middle name. So the rules were nothing racist, nothing sexist.
What's her middle name?
Tyrone. Delaney.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Is that really the person's name? They said, I want Kira Sultana.
So what happened was they donated the money. And we said, great, you can name, you have, you know, this is what you've won. This is part of your prize package.
Yeah.
And they ended up letting us.
Oh, my God, Kira, that's a crazy fucking story,
but
yeah, man.
But we thought we were going to get someone that would cut the cord.
Listen, if you send Storyworthy $10 a month on our
pregnant nipples.
Patreon fund. No, I text with you. And I do have a couple people I text with.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, you want to play some Shotgun Storyworthy?
Absolutely. It's the only reason I'm here.
That music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the Storyworthy Wheel of Truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
The wheel landed on step. No, pets. I was holding it upside down. I'm not, look, we don't have pets. My husband is, quote, allergic, and so am I. But when I was a kid, we had two Dobermans. And remember, I'm a Soviet Jew, so that means these Dobermans lived with Russians who don't go out and buy pet food. This dog will eat what we are eating. And so we had the fattest, the laziest Dobermans. One of them, his stomach dragged on the floor and you could hear it across the wooden floor just as he walked down the hallway. And I told my parents that this is such a shame because Dobermans are proud, muscular dogs. What do you see whenever someone is like in a heist movie where they're robbing the big mansion on the hill and the gates and the Dobermans are running out, right? It's always Dobermans. They're like, they're supposed to be, you know, ferocious and people are supposed to be scared of them. And these were the fattest. No, I mean, if anyone had ever broken into our house, the only way I could protect us is if I picked up the dog and threw it at the intruder. So that is my Doberman pets story.
Hey, you know what? When I was a little girl,
did I do that correctly?
You did. It was a minute twelve.
What are you supposed to do? 12 seconds.
Yeah, it's all right. You would have gotten shot, but it's all right. We're going to be. You're a new mother, and you're probably prenatal, or postnatal. When I was a little girl, there was a people that lived next door, the Cucklers. They had a Doberman named Bolt, and that dog one time took one of our kittens and shook its neck and killed it. But I was only 5 and I didn't know it was dead. And I picked it up outside and I carried it inside and I was petting it by the heater vent, sitting there like my little waif self. I weighed like 30 pounds and I was a little dead kitten by the heater. And my mom said, no, honey, you need to give me the kitten. The kitten was dead. And its little kitten's head went and flopped over.
Oh my God.
And you didn't call animal services or anything, I bet.
Honest, this is like 1967.
We
burned our trash in the backyard.
Right.
No.
Are you from Tijuana? Jesus, who burns their trash?
You know, rural,
we had a burning
Pennsylvanians.
Barrel. Yeah, man.
Oh, burning barrel.
Yeah, you know, the burning barrel. It's my brother's job.
Here's the thing. I think that as a comic, if you have a pet, then you are, if you're on the road a lot,
yeah,
then you're just a dick.
Yeah, you are.
That's, I mean, unless you're bringing the dog with you all the time, or the cat, or, I mean, the parrot, or the bird, or the fish. Well,
I'm going to disagree just because.
Okay.
And I've recently become a pet person.
Okay.
But Christine said to me many years ago, she was like, you know, she was worried about, you know, she had a cat that she got, and it's like, no matter how bad the pet's life is in your tiny apartment,
yeah,
unless you're, like, physically beating it, it's still better than it was going to live on the street or being dead because you got it from a shelter. It was going to be dead.
Right.
So even...
That's true.
With that even, logic, you know, you ought to take home two homeless people on the way home, Hannes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, with that logic, go down, go by the Home Depot.
Not only am I trying to give you a compliment, but I'm quoting you. You're fighting against yourself and ignoring the compliment. Do you see what I have to deal with here?
I see it. I don't think $10 a month could cover it.
Listen,
what you have to deal with.
You guys, head on over to Netflix and pick up Kira's new comedy, You Did This to Me. I am so excited for you.
Thank you.
You're on fire.
So you did produce it entirely yourself, and so you will own it and reap the rewards.
Happy motherhood as well. Happy motherhood.
Thank you.
It's exciting. All right, you guys, we got to wrap it up right about now. I want to thank everybody at Sideshow Network, including Maria Spertolozzi. And Sean Merrick and Roddy Swearingen, and of course John Thomas Griffith. You know, he wrote the theme song Follow Me.
Yes, he's pregnant, I heard.
I'd also like to thank, of course, our storyteller one more time, Kira Stepanovich. Thanks for coming. Such a pro. Such a pro. And of course, on behalf of you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.